Nathan Zagura joins us right now. He's on the fan hotline. Hello, Nathan.
What's going on, fellas? How are you?
Doing well.
Ask him, Kenny.
What?
Ask him about Miles.
I got to ask him? All right, hold on. Kay. Rock, paper, scissors to ask him. Rock, paper, scissors. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Oh, you got to ask him. 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 Yeah.
It's kind of a two-part. The first part is Myles Garrett, could he go down in history as the best Brown ever?
That's not the actual question, but still answer it. Nathan, please.
I think he could go down in history as the best defensive Cleveland Brown ever. I think Jim Brown is probably...
Thank you.
Jim Brown is considered the greatest football player of all time, regardless
still
of
kiss my ass, Anthony.
Still,
kiss
Nathan?
Ass, kiss his ass.
People
happy
outside
Hanukkah.
Of Cleveland, do they say that? I don't hear that one anymore.
When the NFL Network, and it was within the last couple of years, did a countdown of the 100, it was probably for the 100th anniversary of the NFL, so that's in, what, the last 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
They did a countdown of the 100 greatest players of all time, and number one was Jim Brown.
You'd put him ahead of Tom Brady. He only had 9 years, Jim Brown.
You, first of all, now you're changing the whole narrative.
Tom Brady's talking about the Browns, had like two Hall of Fame careers.
You're talking about the Browns.
Tom Brady played in different
I'm
era.
Just telling you what was on NFL Network, that he was number one. So either way, he's number one or number two all time, if you want to argue for Tom Brady. That's going to make it hard for him to be anything other than the greatest Brown of all time.
Okay, so now are you going to ask him the other question?
What was the second question?
Would he trade him for two first-round picks? I thought that was going to be the question.
I didn't want to ask him.
Come on.
What?
No, he's untradeable. Second of all, he's the best player we've got.
We know that.
So, no, we're not trading him for two first-round picks.
But a lot of people are going back in the history going, oh, what could we have got? Now, it's been my contention, and if people think this is a cop-out, fine, but I don't think it is. He is going on 30 this year. I don't know if we would have got two first-round picks. They wouldn't have been high picks because the only teams that are trading for him are contenders like the Green Bay Packers. It was interesting, though. I never heard about Green Bay that might be in the market for him.
There's a couple people on Twitter that had it like a week ago, like random people. And they were like, watch, you going to the Packers, because it showed up in my For You feed, which on X right now is a disaster place. People were talking Packers a couple weeks ago. And so, yeah, amazing, huge deal. I was kind of shocked. I thought that, Jerry would get it done, but, Jerry Jones, I've come to learn, is watching the America's Team documentary, which I think is unbelievable television. And I certainly would back Jerry Jones and the Jerry versus Jimmy saga after watching that. He's trying to make a move there. They get a good, very good player. Kenny Clark's a very good player. It's going to be two kind of later ones. So it'll be interesting to see kind of like ultimately how this one plays out. But they are thinking, we just turned our biggest asset into three players, and one of whom was a proven commodity. I think Kenny Clark's at least a three-time Pro Bowler. So an interesting deal for sure. The Pack's going for it. I'll tell you what, the AFC North is loaded, certainly at the top of it. The NFC North, I think, is loaded as well. That is a darn talented conference right there, because you've got the Detroit Lions, who have been, one of the best teams in that conference for the last couple of years. The Vikings are coming off of a very good season, and they believe in J.J. McCarthy. You've got the Bears, who are loaded up on offense with Ben Johnson now at the helm of it. And then the Pack, they got Jordan Love. They've got this defense, adding Micah Parsons to the mix. That is a tough division, top to bottom. Oh, guess what? We get to play them this year.
I was going to ask.
That's going to be a very interesting meeting there. Which, by the way, Nathan, I totally agree with you. The algorithm is broken, because my For You has nothing but National Guard stuff and no Sarah J on it. And I don't understand it.
They don't know you.
It should be completely the other way. But that's more for coming in hot at 9:43.
Nathan Zagura
joining us on the Fan Hotline. So with this,
that might be my favorite moment ever being on this show, what you just said.
Thank you. There's been a lot of really good moments. Nathan,
we had about 5 years of them when Baker Mayfield was here.
we sure as hell did. I said that I'm taking the over on it. I was called a homer because I like the offensive line as of now. I know there's an injury history with your tackles, as Daryl wanted to argue with me about earlier, but I respected his opinion on that. I like the offensive line. I really like the front four. I'm hopeful for Carson Schlesinger, but because of, just history, my personal fandom history, I'm like, I'm not doing a cannonball over him yet. I'm like, man, this, okay, if we can line up and we can run the football and stop these stupid turnovers, we're going to be in a lot of these games with 2 minutes left to go. I just don't know if we're going to be outgunned with 2 minutes left to go in some of these games.
Yeah, I think, look, I think this Cleveland Browns team is going to surprise a lot of people. What that ultimately looks like, I'm not sure. But certainly people, I think, that are saying, you know, national pundits that are saying, Brown, oh, you're going to win three games if they're lucky. I couldn't disagree with that more. This defensive line, I think, has an opportunity to be the best defensive line in football, period, full stop. And if you can control that line of scrimmage, then you mentioned you liked our offensive line. I like it as well if they can stay healthy. If you can control the line of scrimmage, you're going to be in a lot of games. I do think we really need to get Quinshon Judkins back in here to truly be the type of running offense that we want to be. But I think having Joe Flacco at quarterback allows for you to be a little bit more pass-centric. We saw him throw for nearly 330 yards a game last time he was with us. But I'm with you in the sense that we're going to be a tough out. This, it's not going to be like, oh, we see the Browns on schedule, that's going to be easy. You're going to have to come. We are going to be a physical team. We're going to be an aggressive team. And I think we are going to surprise people. I think we're going to win games that people don't think we have any business winning. And where that ultimately ends out with the record, I'm not sure. But I sure as heck know it's going to be a lot better than it was last year.
Well, and this is why we were having the whole conversation this morning about Micah Parsons and Myles Garrett. Because before, you know, I don't know with what Dallas is doing. I don't know if you can just circle number 11 and go, that guy can't beat us. That you have to scheme for, and that maybe you could open up everybody else. Well, we do have a guy in number 95 that they got to circle every single week and go, okay, what are we going to do with this guy? And now with Mason Graham, you're hoping, but again, it's early. We know what can he do with that. So that's why, you know, I agree with you in so many ways. But I do think, and this is going to be an interesting thing here, because we talked to Aditi Kinkabwala earlier this morning, and I think I've actually been getting the question wrong. I think a lot of us have been getting the question wrong. When Joe Flacco was announced as starter, it was immediately, how long's the leash on Joe? To the point he was asked the question. I don't know if it's the leash on Joe. It's like, okay, at what point do we hear talk about if Dillon Gabriel is ready to step into that starter role? Because, you know, we're trying to balance two things at once here, Nathan. It's hard. We're trying to win now, but we're also trying to figure out what we have so we can get ready for the future. It's a tough needle to thread.
It is, but I think that the priority one is winning now. So I think Joe Flacco, right, if Joe Flacco goes out there and we're 4-1, or, you know, I think as long as we're in the mix and Joe Flacco's playing well, I think Joe Flacco, if he has a great season, there's no reason why he couldn't start 17 games. Because that means we're winning. That means we're in playoff contention. I think that, yes, you want to thread that needle, but I think Dillon Gabriel's opportunity likely would only come in the event of an injury to Joe Flacco, or if we get to a point in the season where things are not going the way that we wanted them to go. And so now, let's get some evaluation. Let's see Dillon Gabriel. Let's see how he develops. And then for Dillon Gabriel, when that time for him comes, his whole goal is to make sure that he gets to keep playing and you don't see a tranche of Shedeur Sanders. I think it's possible you could see all three this year. I certainly think that if Joe Flacco, though, plays well, and this is a Browns team that goes into the month of December in playoff contention, there's no reason to think that Joe Flacco still wouldn't be the quarterback at that time if he's playing well. And I think if we're in playoff contention and Joe Flacco's the quarterback, that means he is playing well.
Nathan Zagura with us, voice of the Browns. So I want to ask you about somebody that I get asked about the most when it comes to the Browns. You mentioned him at the end of that last response, that, of course, being Shedeur Sanders. How did you feel overall about the Shedeur Sanders experience up until now?
It's good. I think it's kind of a lot of maybe what people who understood the situation expected. And I think if you guys go back, obviously you guys know, a huge Shedeur fan, loved his tape. I was ready for us to take him in the first round. So I'm a total believer in his talent and his upside. Now, the things that I didn't know about or you guys didn't know about prior to the draft were some of the things in terms of his preparedness for the National Football League, things that he was not asked to do at Colorado that he's going to be asked to do in the NFL, and that he had actually a big period to play catch-up to get to those points where he could operate an NFL offense efficiently and consistently. And I think what we saw in the preseason was, oh, man, this is what it could look like in Carolina. And then against the Rams, it's, okay, these are some of the things that we saw on tape at Colorado that we still need to work on. And so Shedeur Sanders, to me, still very much a work in progress, still somebody who, in my opinion, has a very quality starter in the NFL upside from his physical gifts, his ability to throw the ball where he wants to, when he wants to, his pocket movement, his poise, all of those things, but he's got to get rid of some of the bad habits. And then there's so much that goes into it in the meetings and in the whiteboards and understanding all of the things that you have to check and observe and make decisions in under 3 seconds in the National Football League, because you've got to operate quickly. You can't hold the ball as long as we certainly saw him hold the ball against the Rams. So there are things that he still needs to work on, but man, I really like the upside of Shedeur Sanders. I have from day one. I still do. I think that as long when he can kind of get the other stuff on the level of his physical talent, that's when Shedeur Sanders has a chance to be a really good starting quarterback in this league.
Boy, I totally agree with you. I think that, and it's been a hard thing to talk about because, you know, I don't know if you've shared the same thing that we have online, Nathan, because he does have a strong fan base, and we've had three other guys with strong fan bases, and it's one day you're the hero of the city for what you say about Shedeur. The next day, depending on what you say, you're the biggest bastard who ever lived. Because I'm like, I like Shedeur. I like his upside. I do think, though, that I got to see it where I had to go back and say, hey, Dylan does seem to have a better grip on the offense right now. He would be more ready to conduct the offense if things were to go. And I also think that while I think Shedeur Sanders' ceiling is higher, I stand by that. I also want to give him some chances to breathe here and go, okay, let's put you in the quarterback room. Let's give you whatever reps you can get, scout team, whatever it might be, and then get you ready as the season goes on. And let's take the spotlight away. Let's talk about Flacco. Let's talk about the Browns. Let's talk about winning games. And if it becomes your time here later on in the season, it becomes your time. Because, I'm ready to talk about actual chances to win against Cincinnati next week. I don't want to sit here and have these same arguments here. And I want to go a while before we start to have these arguments again.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Just for Shedeur just to be in the quarterback room, to be a part of the game planning process, and to understand the role that even a backup quarterback plays for your starter. So oftentimes, you know, they'll give them, all right, here's all their red zone looks, or you're going to take care of all their third down looks. You have to put together reports for the starter. That level of preparation is stuff that it just sounds like he was not asked to do at Colorado. And so getting those experiences, I think, are going to help immensely in the things that we all love about him, which is what we see when he's on the football field, when it's the good version of Shedeur, where he's in command, he knows what he's seeing, he's getting the football out, what we saw in Carolina. So I think that these are going to be very valuable weeks for him, understanding the level. And let me tell you something. I was talking with Joe Flacco yesterday. We had a really cool, it was a virtual season ticket member event, and I got to host it with Joe Flacco, Denzel Ward, and then with Coach Stefanski. And Joe was just talking about the preparation that it goes into it to be able to understand what you've seen pre-snap, post-snap, make a decision on where to go with the football, all in under 3 seconds while guys are trying to knock your block off. And he said the thing that makes it slow down, the things that makes it easy is the preparation. When you've got a lot of the answers to the test, you're able to execute at a much higher level. When you don't really know what you're looking at, you make bad decisions, and that's when you turn the football over. So I think that experience for Shedeur to be in an NFL operation, going through a game planning week, preparing for an opponent, all the film breakdown, all the specific things that you go in to prepare for, knowing that in week one, especially with a new defensive coordinator and Al Golden, who's been at the college level, there's going to be some unscouted looks. They're going to put some things out there the Browns haven't seen before. But just that level of preparation, I think, is going to help Shedeur so much. And it's week after week of doing that and stacking it on top of it. And all of a sudden, I think you have an opportunity where he's going to have everything he needs off the field as a professional quarterback to be able to let the talents that are within him shine on the field. So I think this is a very good time for Shedeur Sanders. I think it was really hard because if you go back to February, when we're at the combine, everybody who's anybody in the NFL watched tape said he's a first rounder. Those who are like detractors, early second rounder, a lot of people thought he could go number two in the draft. In fact, you know, there was talk he's just going to go dictate where he went. And unfortunately, that is not how it played out. So there's still a perception of him, even though he was picked after Dylan Gabriel. And basically everybody in the National Football League, you know, let him go till pick number 144, till the Browns stopped that slide, that he's still day one starter ready. And the truth is he wasn't. Physically, gifts as a quarterback, absolutely. But there's so much more that goes into it. And I think this being immersed in this world for him is going to be so good. And I think ultimately the Browns are the ones who have the chance to kind of reap that reward.
turn this thing on. Nathan, thank you very much for the time. Have a wonderful Labor Day weekend. We'll talk to you next week, getting you ready for the Bengals. Well, not getting you ready, getting everybody else ready for the Bengals and our Cleveland Browns.
I can't wait. I can't wait for this season to start. College football, big game, obviously, at noon tomorrow. That'll be a lot of fun, the Bucks in Texas. And then we get into it. And now football's back, baby. I love it. Guys, thanks for having me. Have a great Labor Day weekend.
Thank you for joining us, Nathan. Nathan Zagura on the Fan Hotline, giving us the very latest his thoughts on the Micah Parsons trade, as well as with Myles Garrett, that thought there. Lima's dignity is about to go out the window. I don't know how much dignity you had before, but it's definitely gone now. I pulled in this morning at about 5 a.m. on East 14th, and I saw the semi-trucks. And I go, oh, there's a show. I go, oh, that's right. The show is at Rocket Arena. Tate McRae is in town. I don't know of her music. I've never heard of her songs. I've never heard a song. At least I don't notice what I've heard. I'm sure that's been on in the background of something I've been watching. But
one of her songs, if you watch the Formula One stuff,
okay,
one of her songs is like their lead-in.
Okay, I watched the races. Is that what you're talking about when it comes to the stuff?
I don't even know if it's that, like the reality show.
Okay, no, I don't watch the reality shows. I'm not, no. I know that she's a very flexible young lady, and she doesn't wear a lot of clothes.
She's a dancer, and she got big during COVID on YouTube. So.
Okay.
She's like a do-it-herself success story.
A dancer and a singer and an entertainer, if you will. And you're going to Tate McRae tonight.
Oh, yeah, I'll be in the pit.
Is there a pit for Tate McRae?
There is a pit. Let me tell you.
Are you going to get socked in the face? I imagine this is somewhere
by other
around
women's legs.
So is this like a Gigi Allen type of
it's,
a pit?
It's or really weird. It's so we all saw the Taylor Swift concerts and the get-ups and the lines and the merchandise and everything. Tate McRae seems to have this command over social media where everybody is dressing a certain way. It's mostly, I mean, we're going to be the oldest people there by far. It's all girls in their upper teens and in their 20s. They're decked out in the boots and the glitter and bedazzled stuff. So we are going to look out of place completely.
I will tell you that I did a little research on this, on what to tease it, and all I put in was radio tease for a husband going to Tate McRae, and it said, here's a fun and engaging radio tease. Coming up next, one husband, a sea of teenage fans, and a surprise obsession with Tate McRae. And that's what it is, though.
You're going to be good. Not as good as yours.
Oh, no, I had a couple better
yours
ones.
Yours were really good, yeah.
Not only are you going to be seeing Tate McRae, you'll be out of place as a man.
Yep.
And then you'll be out of place as a in your 40s man.
Yeah. Yeah, way too old to be here. I mean, people are going to ask,
but
did you lose your kids?
She's yes. making you wear a getup.
Well, we had talked about it. There's a TikTok trend of people showing their outfits for Tate McRae, because it's something you have to get dressed up to do. Just like the Morgan Wallen. Everybody got dressed up yes. in cowboy boots, and they had the cowboy hats for Morgan
Wallen.
I told
you the amount of Tennessee Volunteers Wallen jerseys I saw on Facebook Marketplace. It was double digits.
And isn't it amazing, by the way, that that's what's guiding these performances now, and that's why the experience and how expensive it is to go to any of this stuff. That it's a whole thing. It's a whole getting dressed up. There's a pre-party. Now,
are you going to a pre-party?
We are not doing the meet and greet. We only got enough money for the meet and greet. We also said, what would we talk to Tate McRae about? What a weird thing. Meet and greets are weird.
Talk hockey.
Can we be honest about?
I think she's got a lot of hockey games.
Can we be honest about meet and greets? Well, what a weird scenario that is.
Real quick on another thing, we're going to lose all our listeners when I mention this name, but it's going to happen. We had a guy who is a legend in radio, Dave Popovich, mm-hmm. who worked here. And when Taylor Swift came to town, before she was what she is now, this is like when she first started out as a country music singer.
Like just smaller.
Like Agora, no, like Agora stuff, like that. She did like a meet and greet, and then she came back some years later. And the way Skippy tells the story is that doing a meet and greet, she's exploding now. Like people are starting to like follow her and all these other things. And she still remembered everybody who was in Cleveland at like the radio executives, the music executives, the record label people. Like she remembered everybody there. And I don't know if she's going to have that type of photographic memory. You could talk about that you're in radio if you want.
Yeah, but they've heard.
You can say that you, I don't know what else you talked to with Tate McRae about. I have no idea why I'd say at a meet and greet with her.
Yeah, what color underwear she's going to dance in.
Not going to say that. Not going to ask that. No.
That's all she
it's
does.
It's weird coming from a guy like you.
You know, the funny thing is, I think that's part of her appeal. Bunch of people like that watching.
You're gonna ask her if you
her.
Could see her feet. What are you gonna ask her?
That's what I mean. I always wonder. Like people think they're. I see the same thing with
that's
comedians.
What her OnlyFans is
she doesn't need one. She's making so much money doing this. The meet and greets with
Reddit work just asked you can talk to her about how her and her dad, your dad, are the same age. You and your dad are the same age.
I don't know much about her family. I was at a Bert Kreischer meet and greet.
Okay,
and I just heard 20 straight people say the same thing to him. As if he's never heard it before, and he had to sit there and go,
yeah.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
He should.
And shake their hand and whatever.
You get a paycheck, you should.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. Which people come up to me and they go, can I ask you about the quarterbacks? I know you hate hearing. I go, I am absolutely all yours. Go right on ahead. I never mind it. I swear to God,
so
I never mind it.
So the 400th person asks you, is Shador any good?
Because I've said everything on the air to them.
But that's part of the package, right?
But that's not a meet and greet. I don't do a meet and
greet. But that's also part of
we would do a meet and greet if we were compensated.
Yeah.
And that's, well.
We'd be happy to do a meet and greet.
I do a meet and greet when I'm like picking up food at Jersey Mike's or something like that.
I'd do a meet, but I would not say hello.
You're just going to wear regular clothes?
I'll show you.
I thought you were going to look like Lieutenant Dangle or something like that. I had no idea what you were going
to
do.
Show it to the camera real
quick. Yeah, you got to put it in the camera.
Yeah, my wife.
Let me see it.
My wife goes.
Let them see it, and I can try to explain it.
My wife goes. It looks like a towel.
You look like a doctor. What are you wearing?
It is. It was a woven knit kind of hoodie sweater.
Okay.
Oh, and if you'd like to take a look, and you can see Mason.
He kind of looks like American Psycho.
You gonna look Mason in the background? Because I brought him in the changing room.
He looks disappointed in you.
My wife was very disappointed.
Is she still going to wear a getup for this?
She returned what she was going to wear because it's going to be too cold anyway. And then she realized I look ridiculous.
You're indoors.
I'm dressed like I'm in my teens or my
20s. Who cares?
So she took it back. We're just going to dress up like we're going to dinner because that's what we're doing beforehand.
Wait. I don't think you can go to this and not do the full experience.
I know. I told her now we're just going to be more out of place. Like, we would have been out of place dressed up for this because people would have said, oh, you're trying to stay. But now we're going and not dressing up.
I
think we look more ridiculous.
You're going to look like you're somebody's parents.
Yes. That was another TikTok trend.
And then you're going to have to tell people that you have toddlers.
I will tell
you. This was a TikTok trend of people showing the young girls going to a concert and right behind them, the mothers.
I will tell you that much different.
With wine stains on
their shirt. A much different crowd, but I told you guys last year, spur of the moment, I bought those Creed tickets and we were out at a nice dinner when I decided this. So we were not dressed ready for a Creed concert. We definitely look like a couple of narcs. And that's what you're going to look like.
They're undercovers.
Right now.
I don't get the whole dressing up for.
But I swear it's all the big concerts.
Well, because I was talking about, I told you about this yesterday. So Liz, I don't like a lot of current country music. I'm on the record with that. And I've said it several times. But there are a couple songs by Luke Combs that are pretty good. Because Liz likes Luke Combs. And you mentioned this concert like last week, and I started looking it up. I go, I don't know what she'd do because she is not going to wear it like a denim skirt and cowgirl boots or something like that. Is not going to happen with her ever. Like, I would take her to a show. I haven't been to a concert in years. I would take her to a Luke Combs show, but she's not going to get in the whole thing. Like, when Dustin goes to Morgan Wallen, Dustin is Morgan Wallen'd out. Like, he is full on boots. Tacovas, I'm sure, the whole deal, like they are as countrified as you're going to get. That is not going to happen with my wife. And I understand I own a cowboy hat. It's been a long time since I've worn that Stetson, and I don't even think it fits anymore. So I can't, nobody knows me wearing that hat other than that senior picture I had. So I can't be wearing a cowboy hat or people are going to be going, Ken, what the hell are you doing? You're trying to hold on to something that you never even owned in the first place. Like, you got to be yourself. I'm glad you're gonna wear. I'm glad you're gonna wear regular clothes. I'm glad you're not giving away your dignity. You know, you're one step away from family portrait pajamas on Christmas morning.
I know. It's sad. Don't get me wrong. Guys, I fully understand that.
Keep your life, man.
This has been a fall from grace that I've had to come to terms with. It's from my old life to this life. This is very different.
Just pointing it out. I'm glad. Enjoy it. Enjoy tonight. Yeah. Now, her friend texted that she might be willing to go?
I actually texted our boss's wife. Here's what happened. My wife, I think my wife, as we were getting later in the day yesterday, she realized that her even going with me is weird. Like, she should go with another girl. And she had talked to our boss's wife before about Tate McRae, and she loves Tate McRae. And I just texted, would you want to go to this? Take my spot. It was so last minute. It was so last minute. I think she felt bad, and she didn't want to take the ticket or whatever.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe she has stuff going on. I don't know.
A night at home with your kids. What time do your kids go to bed? 7:30?
7:30.
Oh, my God. A night at home.
Till Izzy has her delay tactics.
Watching Friday night college football. There's no delay tactics in the Carmen household. Bed is bed. You need to take that up on yourself. 7:30 bedtime, home, drinks, watching college football by yourself. Oh, my God. Come on. Larry in Cleveland.
Larry.
You're next up on the fan.
Hello.
I mean, your wife comes home hot in the pants after Tate McRae. Oh. Nice time. Sorry,
reckless
I don't mean to talk
speculation.
It's gonna be a hell of a Friday night for Tony. You even got to leave the bedroom.
And
a few
I was drinks. Wondering what could that possibly be?
Go ahead, Larry.
Hello.
A couple in heat.
I just wanted to say he's not going to be the oldest one there because I'm 54 and I'm taking my 16-year-old daughter.
Larry, we're getting drinks. We're going to high five.
If you think he's that far away from 54, Larry, you're pretty wrong.
Yeah, not that far behind. I'm going to catch you before too long.
If it makes you feel better, Larry, I thought you sounded 75.
He's in the rearview mirror for you, Larry. All right, Larry, I hope you get there safe and I hope you find tone when you guys go to the Tate McRae concert. See, okay, put it out there that you're going to be at the Tate McRae concert and maybe some people are going to meet up with you and get drinks.
We'll have our little pre-show meeting outside by the hard liquor.
It's amazing. You and I, on Friday night, this Friday night, we're both going to be around a bunch of high school kids.
The way it was meant to be.
I got touchdown and you got that.
Hopefully it's the only touch we
hear. Coming up next. Please keep your comments within the boundaries of good taste.